There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hour number two on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here. Mallory Piping text line at 343-0106. Same phone number for just good old-fashioned phone call, 343-0106. And those talkback messages, you can send those with the FM Talk 106.5 app. All right. Put a picture up here on my social media and my man, John Young. So my friend John Young debuted last night with Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, John Young. Check that show out. You can check it out in podcast form if you want to go back and catch up from last night. But every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you check John's show out. So he's just part of the 56 hours a week of live local shows around here. More voices, more people. We got them. We got them big time. Speaking of that, if you like to celebrate that, I think the nappy voting is still open. If you go to votenappies.com, we're in a bunch of categories for radio, media categories out there, and lots of different shows and different hosts around here. Like kind of the nature of it is we compete against ourselves because we're in all the categories, like multiple people from here, but pick your favorites. And only thing I'll ask is vote for the station. Then beyond that, pick your favorites on the station and let her rip. I think a few more days in the nappy voting. It's a cool thing for us. We appreciate when you do that. It gives us a little heads up that you enjoy certain shows. I mean, like to see Bill Finch's show last year winning and all that, that made me very, very happy. All right, to the stories this hour. And like I said, coming up at about 1:35, George Williams, you can hear his show, one of the 56 hours a week of live local shows here. You can hear his show on Tuesday nights, so he'll be joining us, though, for a little conversation at around 1:35. Did mention that beyond just the mayoral race, which we do have the event tonight, the forum going on tonight for the Mobile mayoral race. And that starts, it's actually 6 to 8 is the real event, but then there's like all kind of like meet and greets beforehand. Here's a story from MyNBC15, said the Mobile Historic Districts, the Government Street Collaborative, and the Mobile Historical Development Commission have come together to present the 2025 Mayoral Candidates Forum featuring all 7 announced candidates. Candidates will answer questions submitted by historic district residents and boards on issues related to historic districts in all of Mobile. So it's going to be maybe narrower in scope, but your chance to hear them. The public's invited. It's from meet and greet. Like I said earlier, last hour, meet and greet with refreshments begins at 5:15. Refreshments, all right. Mayoral Candidate Forum from 6 to 8, and mix and mingle with the guests from 8 to 8:30. So that's going on today. And then in addition to that, I mentioned we've got a couple announcements here. You got this from Lanyap that we have for city councils also, right? So it's not just a mayoral cycle, it's a municipal cycle for Mobile and all the other cities that have contested seats there. It says here, this is from Brady Petrie, said a field of newcomers looking to make their way onto the Mobile City Council continues to grow. Former police officer Bill Appling announced he's going to seek election to the District 4 seat. He made that announcement today, his candidacy for the position. He's squaring off against incumbent Ben Reynolds, who's held the seat since 2021. Appling served with the Mobile Police Department for more than a decade as both an officer and a detective. He also started his own small business and has served as a board member for multiple nonprofit organizations, as well as a stint with Downtown Mobile Alliance and Downtown Mobile District Management Corporation. So he's made that announcement. Also mentioned in District 2, that coming out as well. I think this came out yesterday. Former Mobile County Public School System Deputy Superintendent Samantha Ingram announced her candidacy for District 2, and she will be running against the incumbent William Carroll. We've got another probably month or so here, I think, before everything is, I think they got to qualify by mid-June, something like that. So we'll probably have some more names in the mix, and we'll get to them. I'd say probably with it. I mean, if you're going to announce, not that there couldn't be somebody come in right at the last minute, but I guess by the time we get through Memorial Day weekend, we're going to have the names of the people. And the same thing for, like, we've had interviews with folks from Saraland. You've got a contested election there. You've got questions out there for the mayoral and the council seats. We got and open doors. If your municipality around here has got election, we'll talk about it. They'll grab a few texts, and then we'll get to the phones at 343-0106. Yeah, let's see. Is there any news about the old FBI director suggesting the 8647? This should not fall out of the news cycle. I don't think much is going to come of that, Chris. It's Chris in Orange Beach. The fact that he's not gone to the bunker on it, I don't think much comes out of it. Let's see. Tim says, Sean, if the mayor doesn't get a handle on all this violence, it's going to have an adverse effect on his legacy. And then Paul said, how old is John Young? John, and I like to point this out to everybody, that my buddy John is, depends on the time of year, but he's 2 years older than me. So he's 54. He's an old man. Don't let him know I said that. All right, to the phones. Who's up next? Let's click the thing. Clint is up next. Hey, Clint.
Hello.
Hey, Clint.
Hey.
All right, there you are. You're on.
How are you?
I think I'm pretty good. If the Dayquil's kicked in here, so I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
I hear you. I'm doing pretty good. Hey, did you know that you were going to be talking about DEI with April Marie before George was coming on?
I did not.
That just is a coincidence.
Yep, it is. So April Marie comes on Tuesdays usually, George had asked me when I saw George last week at the Waterfront restaurant. We did that fundraiser for Warrior Legacy Ranch. And George is like, I need to come on your show. And I said, okay, well, cool. We come on my show. Yeah, we got our phones out.
On DEI Day. What do you think he's going to say about DEI?
I have no idea. We'll ask him.
All right. Well, my guess is, and I could be totally wrong, my guess is he's not a big fan of it. But when he's on, ask him about his buddy in Birmingham, the first black man who got elected to chair as the Birmingham, I think it's the Birmingham chapter of the Republican Party. Ask him about that when he's on. Will you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll make a note of the first. Hold on here. We'll stop. The first, what is it?
I think he's the first black chairman of the Birmingham Republican Party. And it's a buddy of George Williams. He'll know what you're talking about. But anyway, my guess is he's not a big fan, but ask him about that kind of conversation.
Okay. We'll see if George is listening out there already, then you'll know the question. But, you talked about the coincidence thing. You'd have talked before. It truly is a coincidence. I don't have some master plan where I'm saying, okay, April Marie, you talk about this. I mean, she sends me the story she wants to talk about. I did want to talk about coyotes as well. And then George and I set this up last week. So, I mean,
I hear you. Hey, Sean, I believe you 100%. No, I'm not being facetious. I believe you on that. That's fine. But just ask him about his buddy up in Birmingham.
Okay. All right. George, if you're listening, there's the question. Coming in from Clint. All right, leaves the line open at 343-0106. Are there any other announcements? Those are the announcements. Somebody's asking any other announcements on the city council races. That's what I know right now. That's what I know as it stands. But like I said, they still have. Somebody could probably send it to me. I think it's mid-June before that's all. You have to have the filings in, I think. I talked to John Sharp about this, I guess, last week on the show, but just an update here. Wonder what this means, if it means anything, to the one day will be opened, I guess, Brooklee Terminal for Mobile, for the airport moving to Brooklee. You know, Gulf Shores, the Jack Edwards Airport, Gulf Shores International Airport, which I don't know how, I'm sure you get an international flight in there, but International Airport tomorrow gets that first commercial flight in there. This seems to make sense. You got Allegiant Airlines, which is interesting. If Allegiant can make it, so low-cost carrier, if it can make it for Gulf Shores, we had so many low-cost carriers, I say so many, a few low-cost carriers come to Mobile and then leave, and come to Mobile and then leave. I remember I had a meltdown when Frontier Airlines left because I was so excited because they had flights to Denver and like to go out west in the summertime, and you had a cheap flight to get you to Denver, and from there you can get pretty much anywhere. Maybe Allegiant can do it. Maybe this is very specific. It said here from our news partners at WKRG, the Gulf Shores International Airport will celebrate its first commercial flight tomorrow. The airport, along with the City of Gulf Shores, Coastal Alabama Business Chamber, and Allegiant Airlines, hosting their inaugural flight celebration and ribbon cutting tomorrow from 12:30 to 2:30 at Jack Edwards Field. Will that make it to where it's tough to get a low-cost carrier to come into Mobile? Talk about, what do you think about it? Let us know on the text line.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. I'm going to check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Paris Tractor in Robertsdale. It is prime mowing season here, my friend. What you got for zero turns out there?
Right now, Sean, we got a little bit of everything. We've got it from as small as a 36-inch deck up to a 72-inch deck in our gas and our diesel models. All still qualify for zero interest financing through Kubota. We do have not just zero turns. We got some of the traditional sit-on mowers with the steering wheel, as well as some of our commercial guys like the stand-on mowers. We've got all these in stock right now with zero interest finance and still with Kubota.
In addition here, just talk about, like, if first of all, if somebody's ever run a zero turn, a big change, but just the, and yes, I'm trying to be funny, the size of the deck is important. You and I mow, both of us mow big lawns here, and it if you want some weekend back, it makes a difference.
It does cut down on time a great deal, more than what you imagine. I've noticed that a lot over the years, that you go with a bigger deck, it's going to cut down on time.
Yeah, for sure. Also, we talk skid steers a lot, man. What do y'all got in right now? You get some more? I know you've been getting shipments in.
We've been getting plenty of the 75-3s, the SVL 65s. We've been getting plenty of those in. We got a few truckloads I mentioned last week, but we got another truckload of the 75-3 high flow cabs yesterday afternoon, as well as we had a few trickle in this morning of the open cab 75-3. So we've got a little bit of everything in stock right now, as well as all the different attachments that go with them. So, you know, pallet forks, grapples, brush cutters, augers, dozer blades, angle brooms. We've got all that in stock right now, and they qualify for the zero interest financing through Kubota as well still.
All right. We're looking at the holiday weekend with Memorial Day coming up on Monday. Are you doing, I mean, you've done this in the past, doing like a little deal here?
Yep. So on rental, all of our rental equipment, it doesn't matter if it's a handheld power tool up to a bulldozer. You come in Friday, you rent it, whether you pick it up or whether we deliver it. Sometime after lunch on Friday, you pick it up or we deliver it. You're going to pay for one day rental, but you're going to get it for 3 days, meaning that we will either come pick it back up on Tuesday morning or you'll bring it back to us by 10 a.m. Tuesday. So, and that doesn't matter what it is, anything in our rental fleet, you will pay for one day, but you'll get it for the long holiday weekend.
I like that. Got my attention, and I think a lot of other folks. So how do they get in touch with you and get this booked?
Well, right here at Paris Tractor in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays 8 till noon. We will be closed Memorial Day Monday, but we will be open this Saturday 8 till noon. Or you can visit us on our website at paristractor.com.
Good stuff, Blaine. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine at Paris Tractor. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. Also for the Mallory Piping text line, same digits, 343-0106. This is CA. He said, hey, Sean, Mobile should call it the Trump Denton International Airport. A city in the South is going to snag it. Man, I can't do that because having it named for Jack Edwards is pretty special. Now, whatever everybody says, for full transparency or whatever. So I grew up, luckily, my parents were friends with Jack and Jolene Edwards and was around them from the time, gosh, I mean, 7, 8, 9 years old, maybe. Just a hell of a guy. You know, we talked about that at his passing. We didn't, you know, several interviews about that. So, no, I can't, you know, I got to keep representing Jack Edwards. For me, that's me. Joshua says, in 1995, I passed the written and physical test for a firefighter along with a white friend from West Mobile, 36695. I lived in Pritchard, Whistler, 36612. He did not get an interview, and I did. The people that interviewed me at the Mobile County Personnel Board were surprised to see me for some reason when I opened the door for the interview. I didn't get the job. I'm white or mostly white anyway. Shenanigans, I tell you. Well, you know, back to the conversation that from last hour with April Marie that had, and then Clint called in as well about it. I see, if you don't see that at one point that there was a reason for this, then I don't know. I mean, this to me, there was absolutely a time for it. But I think it's a fair question to ask. What is the finish line on it, right? If you do anything, you say, okay, here, what's the objective? What's the problem? What's the objective? How do we know when we have solved the objective? You do that in business. You do that in life. And the open-endedness of it is of question to me. Now, she's talking about it specifically in the stories, what's going on at Samford and what's going on at Auburn in this latest story, and you can read those over at 1819news.com. This also coming in since we came on the air, this from Yellowhammer News, and it's but I see I got the email from the Attorney General's office. I have not opened the email, so I'll just read the secondhand account. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall confirmed the state will appeal a recent federal court decision striking down the state legislature's 2023 congressional redistricting map. We all knew this was coming. A ruling that found lawmakers had intentionally discriminated against black voters and violated Voting Rights Act. Marshall has, it says here, spokesperson for the Attorney General's office confirmed their intent to appeal. Marshall has consistently defended the legislature's redistricting efforts as both constitutional and in good faith. Lawmakers approved the current map in 2023 after the U.S. Supreme Court's Allen versus Milligan decision and ordered the state to create the second district where black voters have a greater opportunity to elect a candidate of their choice. The legislature reconfigured District 2 to increase. We know this stuff. All right. Said in a nearly 600-page decision issued on May 8th, the three-judge panel permanently blocked the use of the legislature's map, stating it unlawfully suppressed black voters by maintaining only one majority black district out of 7, despite black residents comprising about 27% of Alabama's population. We had the conversation, 2 weeks ago when House Speaker Pro Tem and the man who has the unfortunate job of drawing the maps, Chris Pringle, was in with us and discussed what would be next. And he seemed to think, depending on what happens in this Louisiana case, that this will be coming back, you know, back to a special session. If that happens, be coming back for a special session in Alabama, we could be doing this all again. So, but there's also been, and I'd like to get the Attorney General on, because there's a lot of people, there are a few people that have talked to me before that said if they would have gone with what was originally drawn by Representative Pringle, that it wouldn't, the decision wouldn't have been that way from the Supreme Court, that they were asking the wrong question or something to that effect. Will that change going back through here? I think it's leaves a lot to discuss. And yes, now it's confirming today the state of Alabama will appeal that federal court decision striking down the 2023 congressional redistricting map. So we'll watch that and hopefully get the Attorney General on the show at some point in the future to talk about that. All right, coming back, I've got the news coming up next, and then you can chime in at the Mallory Piping text line, 343-0106, or a good old-fashioned phone call, same digits. My buddy George Williams joins us in just minutes right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:34, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey Bennett with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you know, we just celebrated 16 years for FM Talk 106.5. So the radio station, as y'all saw the image Leanna had put on Facebook, we can drive now. The station's got a driver's license. Well, 1-800-GOT-JUNK can vote. So show off, show off. He's been removing junk for those years in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Used them personally. So many of us have here. You can look at the Google reviews. People you know have used them. If you got a project, you're like, well, I'm going to get that giant trampoline out of the backyard. Or, you know, honey, one day it'd be nice to be able to park cars in the garage instead of all this junk. You get it done when you set the appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And for those of y'all that have any kind of thoughts about, I'm going to have people in my house. So Trey and Gant, it's family company, local folks. I'm real funny about that, too. The first time I used them, I was like, oh, I'm comfortable with these people in my house. They're great. They not only get rid of the junk, they clean up the room that they got the junk out of. I mean, we got them to do a storage unit for the radio station. Not only did they get the junk out, they cleaned it up. Because you know the storage unit place wanted to not give us our full deposit back? They had to, because it was that perfect. I mean, that's the kind of work they do. So if you need junk gone from your home, your business, storage unit, wherever, you got junk, you need it gone, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And they make a good old-fashioned appointment. Instead of this, they'll be there sometime between 6 in the morning and 9 at night, you know, where you got to work and you go online or pick up the phone, make the appointment. It's a specific day, specific time. And all you got to do when they get there is point at the junk you want gone. They quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. Online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or the name is a number. Give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, and good to see this man in studio. I saw him last week. I was just talking about that. You and I were together at the event, the fundraiser for Warrior Legacy Ranch. He's a veteran, so he's, of course, a big part of that community, and he's also one of our show hosts here. It's George Williams. Good to see you.
Oh, good to be here, Sean.
Yeah, that was a fun event.
It was.
And it's... You know, it's amazing to think about your service to our country as a veteran when Patrick, you know, he's a little bit younger than you. When he and I first started talking about it, I said, you mean there's not something like this already for veterans? Like, I was ignorant. I said, oh, there's got to be something that we provide so our fighting men and women can get back together. And he's like, it doesn't exist.
Right.
And here's a guy who's put his foot down and is doing something about it, and I think it's just great.
Right. It takes a veteran to do something for veterans.
But y'all speak your own language. You veterans, I get around, I'm friends with a lot of y'all, but y'all speak your own language.
Right. That's true.
It's good. It's good to have a place like that. I wish there were Warrior Legacy Ranches in all 50 states and everywhere, but this is my home, this is your home, so I'm happy we got it going here.
Yeah, me too. And I think there are going to be more of them. Okay, mm-hmm. Opening in different counties. At least each county should have at least one of those facilities.
And y'all, if y'all don't know it, I want you to go, and we've got a lot more to talk about, but go to Warrior Legacy Ranch, go to their website, go to their Facebook page, and see what this is about. But like men like George or men like Patrick Jump that are different in age, getting their guys that they serve with together to be able to visit, reminisce, talk. And then Patrick pointed out, too, with his guys, too, it's good to have the wives and girlfriends come because they build bonds. So if somebody's having a problem, y'all are not, let's say, Marines or y'all are not great at talking about feelings and stuff to each other. But the women find out, and the women let the other woman know that lets the guy know that makes the call to you.
And that's true. And, you know, like you just said, sometimes you like talking to your own group of individuals that you served in the Marines together, you served in the Air Force together, you served here. Well, I can relate more to me with Marines, mm-hmm. and guys in the Army because I've been in both branches, mm-hmm. okay? And guys in the Air Force, you know, it's a little different.
But the Air Force guys can get together at this thing as
right.
well.
Right, that's true.
Now, it'll probably need some work done to it after Marines show up because y'all you know, y'all break stuff and kill right. people. But, you know, but other than that, the Air Force can come clean it up after y'all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We hey, look. Like we are military. Always. So we're military. So we don't mind. We don't mind.
But that so just a side note, because that's where George right. and I were hanging out last week. But I wanted to come in to talk about, and something you and I were talking about during the break, and that is for the GOP, you are the head of minority GOP for the state of Alabama.
No, I'm the parliamentarian.
Yes, parliamentarian.
Okay, right now, the parliamentarian.
Which means you wear the, you got the fancy wig and the robe and all that stuff.
I make sure everything is running correctly.
So let's talk about the history of minority GOP in the state of Alabama. I mean, how long has this been active?
Okay, I left South Alabama, mm-hmm. Daphne, when I was 10. And I traveled to Paterson, New Jersey, my mother, father, and their mm-hmm. 8 children. And I grew up in Paterson, New Jersey. And then, military and
took you all over the world.
And federal agents and all over the world. After that, 50 years later, I came back to Alabama. That was around 2006. And within 2 years, I am the senior vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, which is in number 2 position. Now, until that time, they had no blacks. Okay? They had black in the party,
yeah, but nobody
in the upper echelon. So when I hear those folks who are talking about Alabama and Alabama is a racist state, mm-hmm. that irks me because that's just a lie. That's a lie. And how could I have gone that far? Mm-hmm. So quick, okay.
So yeah, when somebody tells you personally that that there's not room for black folks in the GOP or whatever minority Asians or whatever, I mean, what do you tell them?
I tell them it's crap.
Okay. Marine, for saving your language.
Yep. You know, I'll use myself as an example. I use myself as an example, and no, that's not the way. See, a lot of these folks, especially black folks, listen to the Democrats mm-hmm. and listen to folks on CNN, I call them MSLSD, but, because they're all on something over mm-hmm. there, and those other liberal stations, and they believe all of this stuff. And I said, that's not true. I've traveled all over Alabama, okay? And when I was especially the senior vice chairman of the state party, and had no problem. They welcomed me with open arms. And I've been here now for like 20 years.
Okay, but somebody will say this. They'll say, listen, but the Democrat Party has the best interests of black folks in mind, and the Republicans don't.
Well, and that's not true, because this all changed, when I was born here in Mobile. And things changed in 1964. When they had the Civil Rights Bill. Now, the Civil Rights Bill, the Democrats were in office, but you know who sponsored the Civil Rights Bill in Congress?
Republicans.
You know who that was? Gerald Ford, mm-hmm. Congressman Gerald Ford. And in the Senate, it was Senator Edward Dirksen.
Mm-hmm.
So they are Republicans who sponsored the bill. Finally, President Johnson knew that things were changing, so he agreed. And President Johnson had to call all of the, a lot of the Dixiecraters, mm-hmm. Strong Thurmond and all those guys, mm-hmm. and convince them to go with the bill. Once they did that and they voted for it, a lot of black folks thought that it was the Democrats that right. passed the bill. Okay? It was not. It was not. So I look at my grandparents who were born in Alabama and my mother and father who were born in Alabama, and my mother and father thought it was a Democrat. My grandparents said no. I remember them arguing. Mm-hmm. My grandfather would bring up Abraham Lincoln mm-hmm. and the Republican Party that helped the black folks, and it was a lot of white Republicans that died during the Civil War protecting us and helping us. So those were the arguments that I grew up in.
People will then say, I'm just going to offer, they'll say, well, at a certain point, those roles were handed, it went 180. And the Democrats then were doing for black folks and the Republicans weren't. But I look at this from 64 on, and I talk about this with a friend of mine that's younger, you know, and to say, let's look at this. Let's look at the change from when the Democrats took the mantle of we're for black people. How many successes, true successes, have they had? I mean, there are some, but I mean, how many, I mean, what has, you know, what have they done?
That's our point. And I say we black Republicans, we tell Democrats, get off of that sinking ship. Because, the black Democrats, it's sinking. They have done nothing for you. You take President Trump, he's done a lot more than any other president for black folks. Okay? And right now, because of the Civil Rights Bill, Martin Luther King talked about black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But once they enacted the Civil Rights Bill, they included like 134 different nationalities. So what happened to black? We went down the totem pole, okay? And by following the Democratic Party. And this is what we are talking about. Get off of that sinking Democratic ship, because we're going to be left out in the cold, okay?
What do you hear? Because it's pretty significant, the number, and it was, I think, more black men than women, but that showed up to vote for Trump. I mean, it's a significant number. And it wasn't just older black folks, is, you know, and younger than me, and I'm kind of old now myself. But I mean, seeing that as a black man, what led to that? What, I mean, your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, you have folks in the so-called black leadership, Al Sharpton, mm-hmm. Jesse Jackson, all of those guys. Okay, they're the ones that wanted to change the name. Yeah, Martin Luther King used to say black and Negro, okay? And Jesse and all those guys used to be with him, and that's what they said. And all of a sudden, they created this other thing, Native American, African American.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so what we tried to tell them, hey, it's not like that, you know? We are Americans.
Got that right.
We are black Americans, Indians. I'm part Indian. Both of my grandmother and great-grandmothers are Indians. One Choctaw and one Creek. Okay,
that's pretty cool. I never know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm obsessed with the Creeks.
And that's another topic that we can get on, because during those 1840s, 1830s, the slaves could not marry white women. So mm-hmm. who were they allowed to marry? Indian women. Mm-hmm. Indian women. So both of my great-grandfathers were slaves, and they married Indian women. Okay, and then
I know you're a Creek. Yes, that's cool.
Yes, yes, that's our history, but they don't want to tell you the true history of what happened, and this is what has happened in America. So it's all changing now. Okay, what the Democratic Party are trying to do is change the young mind. But like you said,
mm-hmm.
I talked to a young man. He's 18, yesterday, and. He may be on my show tonight.
Okay.
And he said, I want to let the people know that I'm a Republican. Let black people know I'm a Republican.
At 18.
Okay. I said, well, you know, you can call in tonight mm-hmm. to my show, and then you could tell our audience and tell black people, because they listen to the station, mm-hmm. that what you think. So we're getting a lot of young, when I say young, below the age of 30,
mm-hmm.
between 18 and 30.
Do you see that going forward, George, that maybe we have this conversation in 10 years and it's not such a rarity in our state, you know, that people that are, you know, black folks who go, yeah, I'm a Republican. I would love it to be, and I know I have some people call me Pollyanna, I would love it not to be defined race equaling party.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're just Americans, and some people are going to break one way or the other, where it's not this, okay, well, I've got this amount of melanin. You got more melanin in your skin than me, George, so you believe this politically, and I believe this. Yeah. It doesn't, that doesn't affect that.
I understand that, but unfortunately, that's the way it is, Sean.
But does it change? I mean, there's things that we have changed in this country greatly. Do you think it changes that way, too, where it's not so linked with race and party?
No.
You don't think it...
I think it's going to remain that way, okay? Because the Democrats want it to be that way. The Democrats want the all of the blacks to mm-hmm. be associated with the Democratic Party. Like Biden, who was that, said, if you don't vote Democrat.
Oh, yeah, you're not black. Yeah, Joe Biden, a white guy said that. Okay. So a white guy told you you're not black.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay. And Clinton called us a born of a bunch of the portables, you know? Mm-hmm. So they want people to think that we are bad. Well, whites are bad because they don't even consider black.
Because
they don't want the world to know that there are a lot of black Republicans. And I can tell you why the blacks, you don't see as many of them. If the ones that live in these urban cities, if they put a Republican sign on their lawn, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. I've even had one of the, in his 60s, black guys say, well, you keep talking like that, you're going to be in trouble because, you know, the blacks don't like you being a Republican and talking like that. I said, really? Really? So they try to intimidate you.
Intimidate
the other blacks.
Yeah, well, they probably picked the wrong Marine to try to intimidate there on that.
But it's amazing. But that's what's happening in our urban, up in Madison County, up in Huntsville. We had this black guy running for state representative.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he put his signs up, they rip them down. They rip them down. And in Birmingham, we had a black minister. He had about 1,200 Baptist worshipers in his church. Once he came out and said he was a Republican, he lost over 600 of them.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Coming right back, we'll go to the news, coming right back with George Williams. Of course, you can check out his show tonight and every Tuesday night here at FM Talk 106.5. We'll get your questions when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right now, 153 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. A few minutes left here with George Williams from The George Williams Show. He said tonight, a possible call in from a youth.
Yes.
A youth. What they call me? A youth.
The youth.
An 18-year-old black guy wants to talk about being a Republican. But you don't think there's a time when it doesn't. The color of your skin, the amount of melanin you have in your skin, isn't related with your party.
Because,
I'm just saying, in going forward, you don't think there's, you think I'm a dreamer, that there's going to be a point where it doesn't matter what, if you're black or white, party's not going to be, like, you're not going, well, I'm black, so I got to be a Democrat.
Yeah, no, it's not that way anymore, okay?
Okay, well,
it's
good.
It's not that way, because remember, in the 60s and the 50s, blacks identified as Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, until that civil rights bill came. Well, a little bit with Roosevelt, okay, because his wife, she was pro-black all the way, and I believe she had some black in her, okay? And Tuskegee Airmen and quite a few things that she supported and convinced President Roosevelt to support those things. And Moffett Point Marines, she convinced
her husband. If y'all don't know what George is talking about, Google the Moffett Point Marines. Pretty awesome.
Moffett Point Marines.
Awesome story.
Well, she convinced President Roosevelt to force the Marines to allow blacks. That was in 1942.
Integrate the Marine Corps, yeah.
And they did, but they carved out a small piece of land on Camp Lejeune. That's where they trained the black Marines. They trained over 22,000, and they served well, just like the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah.
And we still have chapters. We have 44 chapters all over the U.S. One chapter is in Mobile here, the Moffett Point Marine chapter number 33.
Yeah, I've met Gunny when she, yes. Yeah,
right,
yes.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of history that the media doesn't tell you, the liberal media. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that.
And I carry this over from a call I got before you got in here. Clint had called and said to ask you about this is the first black chairman of the Birmingham Republican Party?
Jefferson County, Birmingham.
Yeah,
Philip Brown. And currently, Philip Brown is also the chairman of the Alabama Minority GOP.
Okay.
Okay? So he is the first black Republican county chairman in Jefferson County. And as you know, we Republicans lost Jefferson County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we lost judgeships. We lost everything in Jefferson County. So Philip is there trying to get the get that changed. Okay, in Jefferson County, to get some Republican election officials.
You know, I wonder if just results-based, if you can get a foothold and come in and say, okay, now Republicans win some in Jefferson County. Mm-hmm. And if the people of Jefferson County go, well, this is fixed or this is better, you know, does it build on itself? When people go, well, Democrats have been running this for quite a while, and we don't like X, Y, and Z. Republicans win some offices. Wow, those things got better. Right. You know, well, people look at it that way and go, hey, maybe I would change the way I vote.
Well, I think, look at this state. In 2012, I believe, 2010, Republicans took over the Alabama mm-hmm. legislature, mm-hmm. okay? And I was the senior vice chairman of the state party then. And a lot of people, I know we said it was much better with the Republicans in charge of Alabama. And you can see the results now. Where President Trump got, 83-85% of the vote, Republican mm-hmm. votes. And we are, it is a Republican state. It's a Republican state. And things are much better than when the Democrats, for 140-some years, they were running Alabama, okay? So, in my opinion, it's much better.
Okay. Tonight, 7 o'clock.
Right.
More of this discussion on the George Williams Show. George, good to see you.
All right. Same here.
All right.
And everybody tune in tonight, folks. We have a good program.
All right. That's 7 o'clock tonight, part of the 56 hours a week of live local shows from right here at the gold-gilded opulent studios of FM Talk 106.5 at Airport and 65. All right. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. We'll do it again tomorrow, y'all.